Praise the Lord. Praise God for a new year and for getting us through last year. And we did have a great year as a church. We saw 52 people pray to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior last year. We water baptized 13 people. We saw a 15% increase in attendance last year. That's awesome. And then I couldn't go into every story of all the people that were discipled and prayed for. We saw healings. We saw one tremendous supernatural healing of one person in our church was given a death sentence of pancreatic cancer and totally, completely healed by the power of God, you know, given a clean bill of health. We started small groups for the first time. This year, we've had three semesters of small groups. They were very well attended. We had great groups, all different kinds of groups, varieties of groups. We had our first life retreat, which was awesome. Lives were changed. And something else that happened this year that I noticed was a lot of people moving from being spectators to participants. That's a big difference in a church. And just kind of coming to watch and saying, hey, I want to get involved. Another change that I noticed this year in our church was people moving from coming just to get fed to coming to serve. That's a huge step in our individual walk with the Lord. And of course we want to get fed and we need to get fed and we want you to be fed when you come on Sundays or small groups. But also I think it's a shift in our thinking and our culture as a church of not having this mentality that Sundays is just about, you know, I just want to come and get what I need for the week, but thinking, I wonder who's going to get saved. Who can I bring? Who's going to get touched? Whose life is going to get changed? How can I serve? How can I help make it possible that every Sunday somebody prays? 52 people last year, that's about one every week. Every week somebody praying to receive Jesus. Man, if I can be a part of that, that's something to accomplish, I think, with our lives. You ever thought about what do you want to accomplish with your life? What could be better than to adding names to the Lamb's Book of Life? Changing people's eternal destiny from hell to heaven. Wow, what a change. You know, I don't know about you, but the older I get, the kingdom of God is where it's at. You know, I shared a message weeks ago about, oh, I've tried all these different things, and you have, I have. We've all tried this and that to be happy, and oh, you can go on all kinds of adventurous pursuits, but there's nothing like the kingdom of God. There's nothing like God's presence and knowing that God's pleased with you and he's using you. You know, to me, building what God is building, that's where it's at. What's God do? What Jesus said, I will build my church. Yes. That's what he's doing. He's building his church, and when we're involved in that, it's an awesome thing. Are you enjoying this great winter we're having this year? Isn't this a great winter? And when you watch the news and you see what's going on in Michigan or wherever the rest of the country, it's like, praise God for Florida. Thank you, Jesus. I live in Florida. It's hunting season and people are getting out in the woods. In fact, I heard about these two skunks that were walking through the woods and they saw this hunter, a deer hunter, creeping through the woods with his rifle. And the one of them said to the other, said, you think he's going to shoot us? The other one said, I don't know. He bowed his head. He said, let us pray. How do you, since we're talking about deer, how do you catch a unique deer, you know? Unique up on it. Well, how about this one? How do you catch a tame deer?
Tame way.
Barbara, you're telling my jokes. You can't do that. Did I already tell that one? No. All right, maybe we better get back to our message. Oh, one more? Roosevelt wants one more. Okay, one more deer. This 10-point buck walks into the Hunting Lodge restaurant and orders a hamburger and fries. He's getting ready to leave, and he's at the cashier paying, and the cashier says, well, you know, we don't see very many deer in here. The buck looks at me and says, well, at these prices, I don't doubt it. Maybe we should get back to the message. Psalm. Have you wondered what 2015 would be like? Have you thought about that? Did you take any time since the new year, maybe on New Year's Day? I know I kind of like to take some time and say, yes, a new year. Lord, what's it going to bring? What am I going to do? What do you want me to do? Have you started thinking about that at all? What will 2015 bring? Moses said it this way in Psalm 90, verse 12, "Teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom." I don't know if you ever thought about this, but the number of your days on earth are getting fewer. I don't care how old you are, every day there's one less. Check it off. They're getting fewer. Maybe we should number our days and think about, what will I accomplish? If the Lord comes back this year, what do I want to be doing? What do I want my life to be about? What do I want to be accomplishing? Here's some questions to ponder. What will I do in 2015? What will I accomplish? Will I accomplish much in 2015? Will God be pleased with me in 2015? That Paul said we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to the Lord. That's our ambition, to be pleasing to Him. Maybe it's a good idea to start thinking now, as we order our affairs and make our schedule and our plans for the coming year, and ask, will the Lord be pleased with my plans, with what I'm doing, what I'm expecting to do? Is He going to be pleased with me? How about this? Will I grow in 2015? Will I grow spiritually? Will I grow emotionally? Do I have baggage from the past that I'm going to get rid of? Will my character grow? Am I going to grow? Will I grow in 2015? How about this? Will I help anybody else in 2015? Or is this just going to be a year about me? Or am I putting into my schedule and my plans to help somebody some way? And that's what dream teams are all about. Those are opportunities to help. Small groups, opportunities to serve, but especially dream teams is what makes church happen. And obviously you're part, even if you come early and make coffee, it's part of the process, part of the whole package that we put together to help people come to Christ. Another question, will I do all that God wants me to do in 2015? Will I do all that God wants me? We got some plans for our life, but does God have a plan for our life? Can we know that plan? Does He reveal those plans? Is it possible to hear from God? Another question, will I move closer to God or drift away from Him in 2015? So what I'm talking about is being intentional this year, making some decisions and doing something. Because Bill Hybels says this, no one drifts in a God-honoring direction. I think that's very true if you think about that. No one drifts in a God-honoring direction. If you just kind of wait and see what life brings, and you just kind of go with the flow, you will not drift closer to God. You will not drift in a God-honoring direction. You will always drift away from God. That means if I'm going to get closer to God, it has to be intentional. It requires the exertion of energy. It will require diligence and discipline to move closer to God, to be more pleasing to God, to be more used of God. To glorify God more this year will mean that I start the year with a decision to do some things in my life that cause me to go against the current of life and the stream of life. See, any old dead fish can go downstream. It takes a live, healthy fish to go upstream against the current. The current of this world is just trying to tell you to just eat, drink, and be merry. Just take care of yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. And you'll just drift down the course of life. That's what the devil and the world, and even our flesh, likes to hear that. But if we read Scripture, it tells us that we have to exert energy. If you look at the great men and women of God, they exerted energy against the flow of the course of life to move closer to God and to glorify God with their lives. Moses had to go against what he wanted to do, the will of God. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, the three that were thrown into the fire furnace, they had to move. Daniel had to move against the current to do any great man or woman of God. You'll see they couldn't just go with the flow. They had to listen to God and move in faith and with the exertion of energy in a particular direction. As we look at 2015, I'm just trying to spur your thinking, stir you up in your thinking. What will 2015 be like for you if you're not making plans? I submit to you that you may just drift in the wrong direction this year and find yourself further away from God than you want to be. So these are all good questions to be asking ourselves to start off this year. But why do we even think like this? It's because we know that our life has a purpose. Why do we ask ourselves these kind of questions or desire to make quality decisions? Because we know God has a plan for our life. We know on the inside of us we were created with destiny. You know, I read a study this week that they the premise of the study, the end result, the thesis was that in studying people that claim to be atheists, that there's really no such thing as an atheist. It was an interesting study because you could ask somebody, where is your religious philosophy? What are you? And they'll say, I'm an atheist. And then you ask them certain questions about like judgment and consequences and words like karma and, you know, thinking to yourself and talking, you know, to yourself and planning and what happens when a person dies. And when they answer the questions, they reveal they're not atheists at all. They believe in something bigger than themselves. There's something written on the inside of us that knows there is eternal destiny, that there's a heaven and a hell, that there's a God who created all this, and that there's a divine judgment, and one day people will give an account of our lives. We know that it's written, it's an imprimatur of God, stamped in our DNA. We know there's something bigger than ourselves and just this life. We know it deep down on the inside of us. When you go to a funeral and you see that person that you love in that casket, you know that's not them, they're not there, there's more to this life than that. They're someplace else, they're still alive someplace. You know that down on the inside of you. You know there's a destiny for your life. You know there's a God in heaven and he's not random. He's a God of intricate design and precision and he created you with a purpose. You know that down on the inside of you. And so we make these kind of resolutions and decisions at the beginning of the year because we know there's a God in heaven that we live before that all our thoughts and life is exposed to and we want to live a life that pleases him. That's a good thing. We know God has a will for our life. Let's take a glimpse into one aspect of our destiny and calling to kind of spur your thinking for this week. If you go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. It's in your notes. If you got your worship guide, there's a little note-taking page if you like to do that. In fact, we'll give you a binder if you like to keep notes, and that's yours to keep, and then you can keep your notes, and it's a good thing to go back and look at your notes and write notes. Anything you write down, you have a 50% greater chance of remembering it in the future than if you don't write it down. So it's a good thing to do. So the first thing you're going to see there is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says this. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Wait a minute. Since we have this ministry, what's this ministry? But first thing is that you have a ministry. Paul, writing to the believers at the church in Corinth, you know, they were not Jews, they're Gentiles, and he's saying, we have a ministry. And I would say to you today, you have a ministry. We have a ministry. Everybody in this room has a ministry. You might be here, hey, no, I came to hear you preach. You're the minister. I'm just a spectator. No, you have a ministry. That's what God's saying to us. What is this ministry? Well, I purposely plucked that out of the middle of the passage because it starts with therefore, and then, of course, whenever you see a therefore, you have to find out what is therefore. So let's back up and see what is this ministry. So we'll back up to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll move up about 6 or 8 verses here in verses 12. We'll start reading and see what leads up to what he called this ministry that you and I have. Having, therefore, such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech and are not as Moses, who used to put a veil over his face that the sons of Israel might not look intently at the end of what was fading away. I'll explain that in a minute. Their minds were hardened, for unto this very day at the reading of the Old Testament, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, us Christians, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry. Okay, so what's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that in Genesis, when God used Moses to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, that he went up on Mount Sinai. Remember that? And he drew close to God. He wanted to see God. God said, you can't look at me directly, but I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. And when he came down from the 40 days and 40 nights being on the mountain with God, The Bible says his face shone so bright with the glory of God that people couldn't take it. They said, no, and he had to put a veil over his face. They couldn't stand it. It was so bright. So Moses had a veil over his face to diminish what was on him so he could stand there and talk to them. But then it goes on to say that these people still have a veil over their hearts. Now he takes it to another level and gives a spiritual application. Not only did Moses put a veil over his face, but now the people have a veil over their hearts, so when the truth is revealed, they can't get it because they have a veil. And then he says, we with unveiled faces are being changed into the image of Christ from glory to glory. So he's liking us to Moses, who got up on the mountain, got close to God, and his face shone with the brightness of God. He's saying that's what we're like. We have the ability through the blood of Jesus to come into the throne room of heaven without fear, guilt, or condemnation. And in doing that, our faces shine with God's glory. Have you ever had somebody, you know, say to you, what's different about you? What's going on? Or they're attracted to you. They're drawn to you. And you know it's something of a spiritual nature. That's what it is. And that's what he's saying. That is our ministry, to get into the presence of God so our face shines. And the next part of our ministry is to help remove the veil from their hearts. We're going to keep reading this and see that. And that's a big part of what we're doing in 14 days of prayer and fasting. There's people in your life around you, people you work with, people in your family, people in your neighborhood. And maybe you've talked to them about Christ, but they're not getting it because there's a veil. There's a veil there. And one way to remove that veil is through prayer. Interceding, intercession, making intercession for the saints, making intercession for those, and praying that the veil would be removed from their heart, that they can see something. They can see the truth. Did you ever talk to somebody? It's like, why don't you get it? There's a veil over their heart. And sometimes we have to go before with prayer to get that veil. And when they see it, it's a world of difference. And then we continue reading there. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world, who's that? Satan, right? Satan is the god of this world. He's not God with a big G. The authority that God gave Adam, Adam capitulated that authority to the renegade angel named Satan. That's where he got the authority. He took the authority that God gave man. Man gave it to Satan. But it's only a temporary authority. It was only a 6,000-year lease on the planet. There comes a due date. He's not the ultimate authority. But he's the god of this age, of the 6,000-year period that God gave man. Satan became the god of this age, and he's blinding the hearts of the unbelievers. He blinds the minds of the unbelieving that they might not, see the light. And where's the light? It's in us. Because we get in the presence of God, there's a light, and they can't see that light. Of the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves. It's some pretty good news right here. This is a big relief. I mean, I guess I've known this, but somehow just in the last couple of weeks looking at this, it's a big relief. It's not all on you. We do not preach ourselves. We're not going out saying, I'm the way, or look at me, or I'm perfect. What we're saying is, I've seen something that's changed my life. I've been in God's presence. I want to bear witness to that and give you the opportunity to do the same thing. We don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Amen. That's why I love the dream teams, because they're bondservants. When we go out and share the gospel, this is good news. This takes all the pressure off of me and you. I'm not preaching myself. You know, if you've been called into court because you were witness to an accident, you don't have to be an engineer. All you have to do is, here's what I saw. The red car hit the blue car. Thank you very much. You're a witness. You saw what happened. Which way was it going? That one was going this way. That was going that way. Okay, we got the facts. You're a witness. See, I don't have to be a theologian. I don't have to be able to prove it. I just have to be a witness. I was lost, and now I'm found. Amen. I was a drug dealer. Now I'm a preacher. I was a person that hated everybody, and God did something in my heart, changed my heart. I actually like everybody now. You know, I'm a witness. You know, you're a witness. Something happened. You can tell your story. Here's where I was. Here's where I am. And you know how I got there? Jesus. Can you fully explain it? No. I just tell you what I saw. I don't know how many miles an hour that car was going, how many pounds, how much kinetic energy it had. I can't give you all the physics and the science behind it. I can just tell you what I saw. I don't know how God does that, but I can tell you what happened in my life. How did he translate? How did you go from doing drugs every day and getting drunk every night and partying overnight, next day, not doing anything? How? That's not possible. I don't know. You got the science degree. You figured out. All I can tell you is what happened to me. All I can tell you is what I saw. The red car hit the blue car. You can have the rest of it. I was lost and now I'm found. That's all you have to know is what happened in your life. God changed me. I don't know how. He just changed me. We saw the light. And we're little lights. And we have the light on the inside of us. So let 2015, it's your first fill in the blank, be a year of bond service. If that's what we've been called to do, not to be big shots, not to be high muckety mucks, not to be all that, and be raised up a pedestal and everybody thinks, no, just bond servants. A bond servant is somebody who willingly gives themselves in service to another. They're not forced into it. They give themselves to it, and they become a bond servant. That's what a bond servant is, and that's what we are in Christ. And we do not preach ourselves. We preach Jesus. I'll just jump over to another verse, then we'll come back and keep reading 2 Corinthians. It says this in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, that you are not your own? It's a good way to start off the year and just say, you know, I am not my own, for you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Now, let's pick that up again now after verse 5, going back to 2 Corinthians. Here's how easy it is to glorify God and be a minister. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. Out of darkness. That's interesting, because we know it shines in the darkness, but out of darkness means I'm still a fallen creature, but he's going to shine light out of me. He's going to talk about it more, being an earthen vessel. Light shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, because we have this treasure. What's the treasure? Jesus. His light is in us, in earthen vessels. That's us, earthen vessels. So sometimes we get under this heavy weight of thinking, I have to act like I'm not an earthen vessel, like I'm perfect. I'm not. That shouldn't be an excuse to stay where we're at, but it also should free us from the condemnation that the devil continually puts on us because we're not perfect. I'm an earthen vessel. Only good thing in me is Christ. If you take him out, I go right back to where I was before. Christ in me, the hope of glory. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. We're not telling people we're the way. He's the way. We're wretched sinners, just like the rest of them. But by the grace of God, I continue to walk with him day by day. And that helps us walk circumspectly, and it helps us be able to relate to people. But for the grace of God, there go I. No, anything you could see on the planet, anything that you think such despicable evil, you and I are capable of it, every one of us. So it's awesome that he takes the pressure off of us and puts it on the light. So the next fill in the blank, we are earthen vessels. And if you'll think about that during the week, I think you'll find that it brings you a lot of comfort and hope and help that we're earthen vessels. So he's the light. There's no pressure on you. And the other thing is that not only is the pressure not on us to be perfect because we're earthen vessels, but it's not all up to me as an individual or any of you as an individual. The church is a team. That's the analogy that is given to us in Scripture. He talks about the body of Christ. He said, one is an eye and one is an ear and one is a hand and one is a foot or a toe or a finger, you know. you're not all that. You don't have to be all that by yourself. You know, you bring your strengths and your weaknesses and connect them with other people's strengths and weaknesses. And nobody in this room is perfect, and nobody has to be perfect. We put ourselves together, and we're used of God. God knows we're imperfect. He's using this imperfect vessel called the church to serve a perfect God and do his will. You're part of a team that's making a difference. He makes it even easier on us. And today, after this message, we're going to have Church 101, part of the Growth Track series of events. It's going to be free. We're going to have a free lunch. It's going to be right up here. If you've never been through 101, please stay today. You find out what it means to be a member, find out where we've been, where we're going, what we believe, ask questions. It's a great opportunity. Get connected. Be part of a team. It's part of a four-step process. And then you'll discover your gifts and talents in part three and get connected and find out what you're created to do. You're not happy until you're fulfilled by doing what God created you to do. And that's what Growth Track is, to help you get connected with how God made you, figure that out, and start using the gifts and talents that he gave you. So that's open to everybody, anybody, free after church today, 101. So what could we be thinking about doing in 2015? How about let's be thinking about and praying about letting our light shine this year? It's not us, it's him. Has he done something for you? Has he done something in you? He wants that light to shine. And he doesn't want us to put a veil over the light. Because it even says that Moses, after a while, when he realized the veil was fading, he kept putting the veil on so that they would think it was still shining. And he wasn't supposed to do that. He was supposed to take it off. And that's what we're supposed to do. Take the veil off, let the light shine. The light shines in the darkness, it says. Did you know there's still darkness, that there's darkness around us? In fact, that was one of the signs Jesus said at the end, that things would get darker and darker. People's hearts would grow cold. The love of many would grow cold. All these signs of wars and rumors of wars, pestilence and famine, they're going to increase. It shouldn't surprise anybody. It shouldn't alarm anybody when you turn on the news and see all these bad things. Just say, okay, Jesus said it would be that way. That's the darkness, but here's the good news. We're the light. And you know, light shine brighter in the darkness. The more the darkness, the more the light stands out, the more it shines. That's our purpose. In fact, go with me to John chapter 1. I love this passage in the book of John. It's so closely parallel to Genesis, but John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is that? Who's the Word? Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him, who is this? Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the what? Light of men. Yeah, when you receive Jesus in your heart, the light of men. And look at this, verse 5. And the light shines where? In the darkness. In the darkness. There's darkness all around you, every place you go, and some people want to, you know, like, all Christians, let's just get together and leave. No, Jesus said, you're in the world, but not of the world. In the world, you'll have tribulation. He didn't pray. He said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. I pray that you keep them in the world. We shouldn't be praying to be taken out. We should be praying to be a light in the darkness. To let our light shine. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness didn't comprehend it. There came a man. Look at this. There always has to come a man or a woman. Jesus came, but he came for us to do the work of the ministry. He said, I go that the counselor will come, the Holy Spirit will come, and he's going to use you. The same things I do, you shall do, and greater things shall you do, because I go to be with the Father, John 14:12. We're the light of men. There came a man sent from God. There will always, to bring the gospel to people, there will always be a man or a woman, a you, right here, sitting in this pew, in this chairs today, that will be used of God. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came for a witness, not to be an expert, but to be a witness, that he might bear witness of what? The light, that all might believe through him. So go, here's your next fill in the blank, go find some darkness. It won't take very long. You won't have to work real hard at it. You know people right now, they're in the darkness. They're living in the darkness. They're living in the dark. They haven't seen the light. We're the light. God, there came a man sent from God. Jesus came from the Father. You know, he was there in the beginning, but there always has to be a person now who's received the light that will go into the darkness and take the light into that darkness. That's us. That's what we're supposed to do. Go find some darkness this week, this year, 2015. Pray, Lord, what darkness should I go into? And you don't need to be afraid of the dark because you know who's got you. You know who's the light that's on the inside of you. He'll protect you, keep you from all harm. He said, don't worry about those things. Christine Kane, she's a woman of God from the Hillsong Church in Australia. She was speaking at a conference one time, and she talked about how she took her daughter to the Walmart and bought her a flashlight, and they were checking out, and they were standing out there, and she turned on the flashlight, and she's shining it around. She says, Mommy, I can't see it. She said, well, that's because all these are so bright in here. She says, we'll have to take it and out in the darkness. It works best in the darkness. And she told her mom, she said, Mommy, let's go find some darkness. And that's the way it is for us. We've got a light. You need to go find some darkness where the light will shine. It doesn't shine so bright when you're around other Christians. There's a purpose for that in fellowship. But boy, the light really shines in the darkness. Next fill in the blank you got there in your notes is God's not expecting you to be perfect this year. That's some good news right there. He's not expecting you to be perfect, but it would help if we were desiring to be used of him and wanting to be a light in the darkness. Here's all we really need to do is not try to be perfect, but do this. Draw near to God. That's what we need to work on. Psalm 73:28 says, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I've made the Lord God my refuge that I might tell of all thy works. The nearness of God. What is your desire? What's on your list this year? What are you planning? You know, is God at the top of that list to draw near to God? Or have we just filled our list with stuff? With maybe even junk, really, when you compare it. I know God wants to bless us with stuff, but I found it works this way. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Put God, the nearness of God, at the top of your resolution list this year. Just love God and go shine. Let's just go shine. Let's spend time with the Lord in the morning or the evening, whatever works for you. Spend time with God, and then just go shine. And don't sweat it. And you know what? Let me just set you free in another area. You don't have to talk people into being a Christian. I used to be on the campus at UCLA, University of Florida, and, you know, I was just overwhelmed. These people are so smart. I don't know. I can't talk them into it. And God just said, you don't have to talk them into it. Just tell them what you saw. Just tell them what happened to you. And sometimes miracles would happen, and their faces would just, you know. I mean, you just have to be the light. Just go out there and let him shine. Just be a witness. You don't have to work harder at being perfect. Just spend time with God. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And sometimes we get that turned around and think, oh, I got to be perfect for God to love me. No, let's look at it this way. If you make loving him a priority, the rest of it will fall into place. Doesn't it say that just as much? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Make that the priority in our life. Work on loving him. Don't work on keeping the commandments. Now, am I telling you to go out and be a bad person? No. I'm just telling you, when you love God, things will change in your life. Listen, when I got saved at the age of 20, nobody told me to cut my hair. Nobody told me I had to quit being a drug dealer. Nobody told me I need to quit getting drunk every night. Nobody told me I had to quit cussing. I did it, though. I did all those things. Why? Because I fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with him, and I want that it just came naturally. Sometimes we're trying to get people cleaned up so they can come to God. It don't work that way. You just get them to come to God and let God change them from the inside out. Just fall in love with Jesus. How about this for a goal this year? Let's have more fun this year by being in love with Jesus. I found out if you're in love with Jesus, you have more fun in life. You do. You have more fun. Do you remember what it was like when you first got saved, when you first gave your heart to Jesus and everything looked different? Next fill in the blank. Radical love brings radical faith. I know without faith, it's impossible to please God. How do you get radical faith? With radical love. I got to work on my faith and, you know, the more you love Jesus, the more faith you have. It just comes naturally. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. In order for you to be a success this year, 2015, it's going to take faith. Everything's not going to go the way you think it's going to go, want it to go, planned it to go. It's not. The life on earth will always, especially the Christian life, will be a walk of faith. There'll be things that you have to press through, believe through. There are circumstances. There will be mountains in your way that need to be moved. Every miracle in the Bible was preceded by a problem. You could look at your problems today as pre-miracles. That's all. You could look at it as this insurmountable problem, or you could look at it as a pre-miracle. It's a miracle setup, a setup for a miracle to take place. Because before there's a miracle, there's got to be an immovable mountain. There's got to be an insurmountable obstacle. There's got to be a problem before there can be a miracle. So now you ought to just be shouting for joy. It's like, praise God, I've got all these miracles lined up because I've got all these problems that I'm facing in my life. They're just setups for God to move a miracle. It will take faith. Yeah. Let's live by faith. Let's live by faith in 2015. Let's give by faith. Give more of what? Our time. All that we only have three things: time, talent, and treasure. Let's give it to God. Let's give it by faith. Let's see how much we can give, not how little we can give to God this year. What if He comes back in 2015? What do you want to have spent your year doing? Let's step up to the next level of faith. Today starts 14 days of prayer and fasting for our church. Why? Because it's a biblical principle. Jesus taught it. He said, when you fast, not if, when you fast, it takes you from a physical dimension to a spiritual dimension. You shift from body mode to spirit mode when you fast. And you can go on the website and see some guidelines and some help with fasting and how you're going to fast and choose the type of fast you want to take, but think about that and do something intentionally and on purpose and know what your goal is going to be through this period of prayer and fasting. Maybe there's people in your life, the veil is on their hearts and you need to pray for them. Maybe there's mountains in your way that need to move and you need wisdom from God and you need power from God. That's a good thing to start fasting about. Maybe you just want to see our church grow and you want to see people get saved and you want to see our country change. Man, that's a time for prayer and fasting and seeking God for wisdom. You can get wisdom when you're fasting like never before. When you put out the distractions of this life and push down the voice of the flesh speaking to us, you can hear the voice of God much more clearly. And we're going to come and pray together on this next two Saturdays. There'll be a 10 a.m. prayer meeting and a 6 p.m. prayer meeting this Saturday and next Saturday. Come to one or all of them. Join with your brothers and sisters in prayer. Do something. I'm going to encourage you. Do something radical this year and start praying about it in these next 2 weeks. Pray for something awesome to happen. Believe for some God-glorifying event to take place in your life. Pray like never before. Maybe He's going to return. I don't know. Maybe He's going to return this year. It's going to be some year. It might be this year. As far as I can tell, all the biblical preconditions for Him returning have happened. Israel's been returned to the Jews. Jerusalem's been turned back to the Jews. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, it's all happening. The darkness they talk about, it's all here. The gospel's been preached to the ends of the earth. They say, theologians and missionologists have say that in the about the last 10 years, they believe that every people group, every ethnos has been communicated the gospel for the first time ever. Particularly through the means of satellite and internet and people going to places, they can't find a people group that has not been evangelized. So when's Jesus going to come back? I don't know. No man knows the day or the hour, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It might be this year. What do you and I want to be doing when He comes back? How do we want to be found? What do we want to be all about? Ourselves or the kingdom of God? Will we be satisfied when He comes back? Let's just take a moment and ask the Lord to show us what to believe for this year. I put a little place at the end of your notes, and you could jot something down if the Lord speaks to you. I'm just going to take about a minute and just be quiet. And you just pray. This would be a good time, God, to just spark some things in your life and just jot down those. I want to believe for this. I want to pray for this. Thank you, Lord. everybody head bowed and eye closed. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to Christ. You're thinking about this year and what this year is going to bring. And maybe you've never really fully surrendered your life to Christ. Or maybe you know you need to get back on track. That this year, the beginning of the year, the first Sunday, 2015, would be a good day to recommit your life to Christ or surrender for the first time. If I asked you, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here. You say, I don't know, Pastor. I'm not sure. Think so. Hope so. That's a pretty important consequence to leave to chance. You say, well, how does anybody know? Well, here's the way Jesus put it. You got to be born again. What does that mean? That means there comes a time in your life when you, by an act of your own free will, surrender your life to Christ. You ask Him to forgive your sins. He comes, He lives on the inside. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, today is the day to get that right. Or maybe you just need to get back on track. You've drifted away from God, and today is a new day. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward, but just as a sign of faith between me and you and God, if that's you, if you want to be sure, if you died tonight, you go to heaven, or you need to recommit your life to Christ, just slip up your hand real quick. Thank you. Anybody else? This is a new day. Thank you. Anybody else? You mean business with God? Because I can tell you He means business with you, and He wants 2015 to be your best year. Anybody else? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Thank you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with them. Dear Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You died on a cross 2,000 years ago for my sins. I believe God raised You from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior, and I can't save myself. Please forgive all my sins. Come and live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever You lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank You, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer and meant business with God. It's going to be a great year. Well, listen.